cut this bit out. Shane just said, can I join it? Hello?
Hello.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
We've done pretty much most of the show now.
Oh, shit. Sorry, guys. I got in at like 4:45 and we just passed out.
Well, we're talking about which managers you think will be leaving or staying to.
Okay. Alright.
I've said Wenger will be one of the ones that'll probably go.
Okay. Are we still recording?
Yeah, I can announce you back in. So.
Alright,
I'll cut this down.
Leicester City have won the Premier League.
This is Bianca Westwood.
This is Adam Virgo.
This is John Curtis.
Hi, this is Stan Collymore.
And you are listening to the V2 Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Chris Lappin and joining me this week, I've got Richard O. Hutton.
Good evening.
And nobody else.
Yes, we're a gruesome twosome tonight.
You're doing well?
I'm very well. About yourself?
Yeah, good. I had my staples out this week, which was not as unpleasant as I thought it was going to be. So, on the mend. Back to work next week. So a few stories have caught my eye this week. The Mirror reporting today that Premier League fans that live near Stoke were more likely to vote Brexit, according to new figures, and fans living more towards White Hart Lane were more likely to vote Remain.
Right. I live fairly near to Stoke. I'm about half an hour's drive from it.
Yeah.
And it is pretty much the epicentre of hell.
Yeah, my brother lives in Stoke.
it needs serious rejuvenation to a lot of the areas around there, so I can understand a bit of them wanting to blame someone for the state of the city.
I don't know if this means Stoke City fans or just football fans. I don't know how they work this out. Right, and former England manager Roy Hodgson has apparently turned down a chance to go on Strictly Come Dancing next season.
Oh my word.
That would have been fun. I don't know whether he'll meet the new Ed Balls or he might be quite sophisticated as a dancer. I can't see him doing any of the quick jivey stuff. But...
No. No, the only manager I could see going on something like that being slightly decent would be for his FA Cup final dance, Alan Kirbishley.
Alan Pardew.
Oh, I apologize, sorry, yeah. A little jiggy dead.
Yeah, that's quite fun. So. And a Ghanaian player has landed himself in hot water whilst drawing a man of the match speech. He thanked both his wife and his girlfriend.
Yes, I saw that. That was brilliant.
He quickly backtracked.
quickly backtracked upon it, didn't he?
Yeah. That's not really funny. It's like, oh, I've never done this before. I've never had one of these before. I'd like to thank my family and my wife and my girlfriend. Oh, and a serious one now. Our thoughts go out to the family and friends of Liverpool legends Ronnie Moran and Derry City captain Ryan McBride, who both passed away this week. Ryan McBride was only 27.
That's how he is. Didn't really know much on about him. Not a big follower of Irish league football, but I remember Ronnie Moran at Liverpool and was. He came pretty much all the way through the back room, didn't he? As Popper, the old school.
He did everything. He was, I think he was officially their physio at one time, but he didn't really have a license to do it. just so he could be on the bench. He's made him physio.
I've never been a fan of Liverpool Football Club, but you had to admire the philosophy of the club at that time.
Yeah.
How they always used to bring up through the ranks. It was always nice to see.
Yeah, it's kind of the way it should be done, really.
And rarely done nowadays.
That's it. That wouldn't work like that these days. But it could be a model for the football league clubs to possibly go through. The turnover managers down there.
Everybody calls him a Judas.
All right, so we'll go for performance of the week. So, Hero, who was nominated this week?
Okay, Okay, there was four nominations this week. They were Afobe versus Swansea.
He's my nomination.
Dawson, pardon, sorry?
Here's my nomination.
Craig Dawson versus Arsenal for his brace. Christian Eriksen versus Southampton. And Kasper Schmeichel versus West Ham.
Yeah.
Schmeichel was my pick. It wasn't, although he obviously did very well against West Ham, I was also thinking about his game in the Champions League as well, to be honest.
Yeah.
And the winner of it, I don't know if the fans also went a bit similar as myself, because they went with Kasper Schmeichel with 39% as the winner. Quite a three-horse race this week.
Yeah, I thought he didn't do as well as I thought. I think he only got about 4%, didn't he, last over?
Yeah, 5% in total. Dawson got 29%, Eriksen 27%, Phoebe 5%, and Schmeichel 39%. So thank you to everybody that voted.
Alright, we'll do first round from the pitch. So because it's just the two of us, we're going to do... Here's going to ask me a question, I'm going to ask him a question. Five answers each. So I'll ask you your question first.
Okay.
I want you to name current Premier League managers who have won full international caps as players.
Right. I'll go with Guardiola.
Yep, he won 47 caps for Spain.
Breaking your way through. Matt, Conte.
Conte won 20 caps for Italy, yep.
Hughes.
Yep, 72 caps for Wales.
Mancini.
It's current.
Oh, sorry. got a mental block. don't like it just having me on the quiz. I like to sort of fire off people.
Yeah. Give up?
No, I don't give up. I think Mike Phelan must have got one.
Current Premier League managers.
Oh, he's not at all anymore, is he? Oh, Bilic will have one.
Yeah, Bilic got 44 caps for Croatia. There's two left. But he needs to get one.
And I'll go with Silva?
No. You could also add Ronald Koeman. Ronald Koeman got 78 caps for Netherlands, and then Pochettino got 20 caps for Argentina.
I can't work out how many if Pochettino had any. There's not many, though, is there?
Six.
I thought
there must be at least 10 in the Premier League, there isn't. So it's six. So you got four, so well done. So we'll do. That's
all. Well, I'm quite happy with that, because it really isn't that. You think of sort of the olden days of where it'd be very much about what their playing career was and then going into management, but you look at some of the big managers nowadays, and it's not like that at all.
No.
Well, obviously, the big example's Mourinho.
If you go back to, like, Alex Ferguson didn't have a great playing career. Arsene Wenger didn't have a great playing career.
No.
So, right, so we'll move on to... So Gareth Southgate's first game as permanent England manager ended in defeat in Germany. But it was a loss with honour, I thought, particularly in the first half.
Yeah, I thought the first half, especially, like, I can't remember what the stats were, but I'm sure I saw it was something like, in the first half, England had had 7 or 8 shots to 1 or something.
Yeah.
And they were really bossing the game, I thought. Ali was particularly good, although perhaps wasteful in front of goal. When he got through 1-on-1 with the keeper, he certainly should have put that away.
I thought if we had Lallana and Ali off Kane, would have worked better, because Vardy doesn't like to stand there and hold it up. He likes to run through, I think.
Vardy's more of a counter-attacking striker, isn't he?
For that system, I don't think we had the right striker on the pitch.
No, not at all. No, it was a nice ball that obviously he did through to Ali.
Yeah.
I thought the West Brom lad, Livermore, in midfield in the first half, was particularly good. I was really surprised at how well he did again. I know the German midfield was quite a few young players in there with Kimmich and Weigl in there, but he certainly held his own against them.
Yeah. What do you think of the three at the back?
It worked. I thought it was... again, when you looked at that team sheet before the game, the England team and the Germany team, you thought it was going to be an absolute battering.
Yeah, there's some people on Twitter saying it was the worst England team they've ever seen, but they must be, I don't know what planet they're on.
The thing is, though, it's a friendly. You know, England turn up in friendlies, Germany don't particularly turn up in friendlies, and Germany still won.
Yeah.
You know, if this was a match at the World Cup, would that have been just a 1-0 loss, or would it have been a completely different Germany ethos that had went out onto the pitch?
Yeah, it was very, I think it had more of a testimonial feel than it did even a friendly feel. It felt like it was Podolski's testimonial.
Yeah. So. And hats off to him to get the winner.
Yeah, it was written in the stars, wasn't it? So do you think the selection of like Keane and Livermore proves that Southgate is prepared to go beyond the established order?
I think you have to in that nowadays. You know, there's so few decent England players in the top teams anymore that you have to look to your mid-table teams.
Well, particularly in terms of Liverpool, where the West Brom are playing really well this season. So there's even talk of Pulis maybe winning Manager of the Year.
Yeah, and for the trials and tribulations that he came through after the death of his kid and then testing positive, he's certainly turned it round, and hats off to him.
One more thing about England is, what do you think of Southgate's comments on England football needing to shed the island mentality and go beyond the Premier League? They want the national side to become more of a success.
It's just hard for them to do, isn't it? I think, how few English players go and play overseas nowadays. And it's always been that case, hasn't it? It's always been just sort of two or three of the top players at a time going over there.
These days, goes to America or China at the end of the career. Apart from Joe Hart, but he's in midfield in Italy.
It's rare that they go in the peak, though, isn't it?
Yeah, also. It used to happen a lot in the 80s. Well, not a lot in the 80s. But then Lineker playing Barcelona and Keegan going over to Germany. And
yeah, David Platter.
All over Italy. Gaspard Brittley. But there still wasn't loads.
That's probably an indictment on the top level quality English players. How many English players are at the moment world class?
I don't think any at the moment. I think there's some potential to be world class. I can see Ali being possibly world class in the future, and Kane.
Yeah, the two Spurs lads are ones that get linked to perhaps a move to Real Madrid, but apart from that, they're not going to go overseas, any of the other English players.
I think it's harder with other leagues, because they usually only have one or two or three big teams, and it's pretty just, I don't call them dross, but after that,
you look at players from Germany and Spain, and Germany and Spain have got top quality leagues. I know in Spain you've got a top two hierarchy, in Germany a top one hierarchy, but there's still other decent clubs there. Atletico Madrid, Sevilla, Dortmund, Leipzig this year. There's good quality players, but how many German and Spanish players come to the Premier League?
Yeah, they come young as well to the Premier League.
And the French players, they all flock to different divisions. Okay, the French league's not quite as strong, but they're quickly moving up. English players just stay where we are. Even young Scottish players at the moment are moving abroad.
Yeah, quite a few of them have moved to like I said. That's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, one's gone to Leipzig, one's down at Sporting Lisbon.
Yep.
So, could see in a few years that some of them young Scottish players, actually, the Scottish team looking fairly decent.
Look at Eric Dier. He came from Sporting Lisbon.
He's
got a good touch on him. So even if we just send it, try and get people out young, to just get a different experience of a different academy, different culture. I don't want to say the academies are stuck in their ways in Britain, but we don't seem to be producing players for the national team. It seems to be they just like to have numbers.
It's getting an identity early on in the grassroots. Get the top level coaches in, and encourage some of the players at an early age to go and actually experience the culture abroad a bit more, perhaps. But I think it's similar to just the English mentality as a whole, rather than just as a footballer, in that when we go abroad, we expect foreigners to understand our language.
Yeah. You learn the basics of how to ask for beer and how to ask for a bacon butty.
You go on holiday to Tom Linus and you have an English fry up first thing in the morning. Experience the culture of Spain.
Yeah, my last big holiday, when I went to Morocco, we were very much in their culture because my girlfriend at the time was Moroccan. It was probably one of the better holidays I've had because I didn't do anything British.
I love Morocco. I've been twice.
Yeah.
Welcome to the holiday podcast.
I said it was fun just because it wasn't one of the resorts. It was just her town where we went to, so nobody spoke English at all. I learned very, very limited Arabic. I could say hello, goodbye, and how are you. That's about it. But anyway, we'll get back to it. So, quick position on the World Cup qualifier against Lithuania before we move on to the next round of on the pitch.
Is there any enforced changes for it?
That's Cahill's suspended. So that's why I was surprised he played against Germany. Unless they'll just try making sure that Stones didn't get injured. I think Lallana didn't train today, but I think he'll be all right for Sunday.
So. Yeah, you'd expect to win against them.
I think they lost 3-0 to Croatia, Czech Republic. So yeah, happy 2-3-0 win. 2-0.
The international games that I'm looking forward to over the next few days are the French ones.
Yeah, who are they playing? I haven't got them on the list.
They have got a good question. I haven't got a clue who they're playing. It was more about the possible introduction to the international stage of Mbappe, the Monaco lad.
Yeah, who you were telling me is now worth like £100 million.
Yeah, he's been promised his debut in one of the next two games of the squad. And today in the papers, they've been saying that Manchester United have had a bid rejected for him of £96 million, which for a player that, 3 months ago, pretty much no one in Europe had heard of.
No.
That's pretty good going.
What is it about it that he's done in the last 3 months? Because I'm not a huge follower of French football, that he's worth 90-odd million.
I think it is something like his last 13 games, he scored 16 goals.
Yeah, oh, brilliant. I wouldn't mind him at United.
He's 18. He scored the most goals in the French league as a teenager in the last 30 years. So that's ahead of what Martial did 2 years ago when he was the top scoring teenager in Europe. And that Ousmane Dembele, who was considered the best young player in Europe last year.
Yeah.
Now, who then moved on to Dortmund. So he surpassed both of them at an early age, and he's done it at a younger age than him.
I still think 90 million, 90 odd million is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, but if he's one of those players that, although he's only just broke through into the full team this season, he was doing that sort of thing at every level before that.
Yeah.
In the youth team, he was smashing it up. Even from the age of 8. He was just looking to just step up from the other players around him. So prediction-wise is that he's going to be a very, very big player for a few years to come.
Okay, I'm pretty excited. Maybe if we offer it again at the end of the season, they'll be...
And I'm particularly chuffed about him because in a fantasy game that I play, I bought him a few months ago for £3.5 million and I'm going to be cashing in.
Yeah. In Anthony's face.
Yes.
All right, so have you got your question ready for the pitch?
Okay. So, mine are going to be a few either-ors for
right.
you.
All right, so I have to beat four.
And you'll have to bear with me because you only told me that I'd be doing a question just before we started, so I'll have to be checking things. This is going to be England versus Germany.
Yeah.
Most caps.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you a German player and an English player.
Yeah.
And you've got to tell me which one of them had the most caps for their respective countries.
Okay.
So the first one is Frank Lampard.
Yeah.
Or, and I'm waiting for me over screen to quickly load back up again, Podolski.
Podolski.
And you're right. Podolski had 130, Lampard had 106.
Yeah.
The next one is Beckenbauer.
Oof.
Moore.
Yeah.
Bobby Moore.
Oh, no idea. I'll be back in Bowerhead.
Two absolute legends of the game.
Yeah. I'll get Beckenbauer.
No, Bobby Moore. Beckenbauer had 103, Bobby Moore had 108.
Okay.
Next one. Beckham?
Yeah.
Or Philip Lahm?
Beckham.
Yes, by two. Oof. Beckham had 115, Philip Lahm 113.
Okay.
Next one. Schweinsteiger or Shilton?
Shilton.
Yeah, Shilton 125, Schweinsteiger 121.
Alright, so it's a draw.
I'll give you one last one.
Yeah.
Mertesacker or Ashley Cole?
Ooh, Ashley Cole.
Yeah, 107 to 104.
Ooh. Nice, so we've got four each. Well done, us. I don't know what we're going to do. We drew. I don't know how we're going to do a tiebreaker, so we'll just say we drew. I hope you enjoyed that quiz then. Alright, so with the success of clubs changing their managers this season, like Palace, Leicester, Swansea, Hull have all improved, I thought we'd do a quick prediction of which managers do you think will be gone by the end of the season, or do you think anybody else will try and change the manager to improve the positions?
Well, there's a certain one at Arsenal that's looking a bit on there.
Well, he's come out saying he knows what he's going to do, but he hasn't actually said what he's going to do.
Well, that's like his normal commentary at the end of a match, though, isn't it? It's like, oh, I didn't see it.
Well, there's two ways of thinking about it. It's either he knows that he's going to leave or he's going to stay, or he knows if this happens, I'll stay. If this happens, I'll go. So he knows in his head what it'll take for him to leave.
I think one of the big things that you've got at the moment is you've got six very good clubs fighting it out for four positions.
Yeah.
And obviously two of those are going to end up disappointed. Now, if it's United that they've got perhaps the consolation of potentially winning the Europa League, and I think if United win the Europa League, then Mourinho, I think, still safe.
Yeah.
I think Mourinho still would be safe anyway, because I think most United fans, apart from Anthony, who still thinks
he just doesn't like him anyway.
Well, I think most United fans have warmed around to Mourinho. They think that they're playing a better style of football this year than they have in the Van Gaal and Moyes stints in charge. And I think they can sort of see that the club is, perhaps although they're not rising up the table as they want to, that the framework is getting there.
Yeah.
In the league this year, they've lost three games.
Yeah, I'm much happier with how we're playing this season. It took a while seems to take a while for the fence to sort itself out, but now it's...
Yeah, if they just turned a few of those draws into wins, I think we'd be much higher up the table, with, you know, a lot of clubs can say similar things to that, but I think we've been unlucky in a lot of games, so I think Mourinho would stay there. The club that also ends up, though, in that fifth or sixth spot, yeah, you could perhaps see the manager being moved on. Whoever ends up there could well be Arsenal at the moment.
Yeah. Have you heard any news about who's going to be taking over at Middlesbrough? Do you think Steve Agnew might just punch out till the end of the season?
I've no idea. I'd love it, though, if it was McLaren again, because I think Middlesbrough fans would probably have a meltdown.
So joining us late, he apparently overslept. Shameless.
And we record this at 8 o'clock in the evening.
I'm actually 17, guys. You probably didn't realise, but...
Alright, so it's what we're discussing. We're up to who do we think will take over at Middlesbrough? Or do we think Steve Agnew will be staying until the end of the season?
I mean, they did look alright at the Man United game. I mean, it was probably a bit of a freak goal that cost them in the end. I think they were potentially coming back into it. The simple question is, who can they get who's any better than who they've currently got, or who they currently just got rid of, in terms of Granke? And there's not too many good managers out there at the moment, is there?
There's a rumour about Pearson. Him.
Yeah, but I mean, there's that...
A load of Middlesbrough fans wanting him, and everybody else just sort of saying, why?
Well, he's a bit of a Middlesbrough legend, isn't he? And he kept Leicester up.
I think when a manager's managed to keep a team up once, you always get that Sam Allardyce effect where they're wanted by anyone who's ever going to go down.
Yeah.
And it only takes one more club for them to realise, actually, that was a bit of a fluke. I mean, I'll put an example from Southampton's history. Remember Nigel Atkins, anyone? I mean, he did one us, and then he's gone, and no one's ever heard of him in the It's a case of sometimes it can all just be the right person at the right time at the right club, and the rest of the time maybe not. So I think with Middlesbrough, better off sticking the assistant manager. Take a leaf out of what Leicester have done this season in terms of it can sometimes be okay to put in an assistant manager and let him take charge. They'll, if they're going to go down, it won't be because they didn't hire someone towards the end of the season. It will be because they're an appalling squad of appalling players who are playing the worst football they possibly could be playing. It will really have very little to do with Karanka going.
There's worse squads about that.
Really? I look at that squad, and at the start of the season, I was thinking, yeah, they should be going down. They're probably down there with Hull for being the worst team. How many worse teams do you think there are in this Middlesbrough squad?
Burnley?
No, I don't.
Watford?
Nope.
Swansea?
Nope.
Sunderland?
Possibly. Yes. I think that
they've got about four or five players that are semi-decent there.
So they've got Ben Gibson, Downing when he wants to play.
Ramirez is crap. And I can say that as a Southampton fan, because he was crap. He still is crap. I think the three about Downer at the moment, you look at that paper and you go, that's about right. They're probably the three that should be going down. So, I mean, in terms of thinking, oh, we're sacking managers or we're bringing someone new in, I mean, how do you kind of go, well, we're doing about what we should be doing. So it's almost like that question of, is it actually kind of fair to then switch it all up completely? I mean, of course, they're going to be more ambitious than to go, we should be going down, but at the same time, who could they realistically bring in who would really put them massively above what the expectation should be? I don't think there's any managers out there at the moment who could do that, so stick with the assistant manager and see what happens.
I'm surprised that one manager is certainly still in his job.
Who's that?
Moyes.
And that's the team propping up the table.
Ah, David Moyes.
Again, if they've got to do it, they should have got...
Season. From the beginning of the season, he already, he's straight
very,
away.
Yeah, very negative.
Just basically said, we're shit.
I mean, I think Sunderland are one of those sides. They're like a side that have been dangling on the edge of a gallows by their tiptoes for several years now. And now that they finally slipped and are actually, choking to death, no one's so surprised. They're thinking, well, we've got to sack the manager and bring someone in. It's just like, everyone knew it was coming. If they go down, it's probably going to be quite weird in the sense that no one's going to be too damning of Moyes. He'll probably get sacked by Sunderland for taking him down finally. But no one will think to themselves, gee, that's a really bad manager who got Sunderland sacked there. They'll be thinking, yeah, they should have done that for a while. They should probably be in League One at this rate from what they've been before. So,
I think if they were going to do it, they should have, as soon as Pardew left Palace, they should have sacked Moyes and tried to get Sam back in. Because they knew that Palace would have been going for Sam.
Well, just looks like he self harms.
He does not inspire confidence, does he?
No, he just looks the most like self hating individual. That it's like seriously, just cheer up.
It seems like such a far cry from the David Moyes at Everton, doesn't it? Like in terms of. You think of David Moyes, you think, oh, that's a solid manager, decent manager, he can maybe do a bit better with sides than they should be doing. Not great, but a bit better. And you're looking at him now, it's just like, his reputation is shit.
he's a shell, the manager that was at Everton. That, clearly, what happened at United has just broken him.
This is what I'm saying, like, even if you get Sunderland relegated, his reputation is kind of so low, it cannot get that much lower. People are treating him like he's already the manager who got Sunderland relegated, so it's not going to be any different.
Ah, poor old Phantom Pubes.
Yeah.
Which is very good.
I want to say there's one other manager who's going to get sacked that I bet you haven't said before.
Okay.
Is it Bilic?
Huh?
No, it's not
Bilic. It is Claude Puel.
Really?
He'll be gone at the end of the season. I guarantee you that. People forget about Southampton. At the boardroom level, we are absolutely cynical and have no sentimentality or any kind of positive feelings towards people. Again, I'll go back to the Nigel Adkins sacking when he was doing, frankly, all right with us, and we just sort of said, get the hell out of our club. Thanks for getting us promoted twice in succession, but off you go now. You've done your job. Time to bring in someone like Pochettino. And again, it's the same thing with selling players. We sort of just are quite cynical about that. We'll go, right, okay, we can make a bit of money for it. Bye-bye, loyal club player. Or, Ricky Lambert, okay, you've done well for us, but off you go now. You've had your bit, we've got a bit of money for you. Graziano Pella, we've got a bit of money for you, off you go. It's a case of, we have stepped back massively as a club from what we've been doing in the last few years. And I know people can look at it and go, you're 10th place, you can't really complain too much, you had a final. And yeah, I'd agree, we can't complain in the same way that, I don't know, a Middlesbrough fan should be able to complain at the moment, or a Sunderland fan should be able to complain. But our whole persona as a club has been based around constant ambition, constantly progressing. That's our whole thing. And we've been
You're still only 3 points off, like, 15th place, aren't you?
Yeah, it's one of those ones. And because we've also, because we've had that whole mentality of we're constantly progressing, for us to have an off year and to suddenly go back from that, and not just in one way, not just like, okay, results aren't going away, it's in every way, we're playing worse football than we have before. We look like we're finally going to hit that threshold where we've signed too many players who are better than the players we've just sold, and we probably can't do that anymore. At the end of this season, we'll lose Van Dijk. I have no doubt about that. We'll get a shit ton of money for him, but we won't be able to sign anyone good enough to replace him. I think we're in a position where, because we've signed a manager who is so negative in the way he does things and is so against that sort of Sampton way that we've been trying to build up, he will go by default. Because we'll look at it and go, you've damaged that progress we were making so much that we have to get rid of you. We have to try and make it so it looks fresh and new again in order to be able to attract the bright kind of players who are actually going to replace the ones we're going to lose. And I think the final has really painted over a pretty shoddy season for Southampton. He had to win that to be able to say, well, I can still be manager, because then that would have been Europe, and it would have been like, okay, it's just progress by other means. But he didn't win that, so it's kind of, no one remembers the losers, do they? It's everyone forgets who that is. And finishing, we'll be lucky if we finish 10th. And that is a real backward step for a club that was, this year we should have been going, this is where we make our push for Champions League football. This is the one. This is the time we can go and do that. Or, alright, we'll get another season of Europa League, we'll consolidate that, and then next year we're going for Champions League football. We had that opportunity, we put it down the drain just because we haven't had a good enough manager. And I think a lot of fans, I've not met many Southampton fans who have said, you know, I really like Club Well, it's all, well, maybe we give him another year, but no, he's not doing very well. It's that mentality. So the board know there will be no love lost if they get rid of him. There'll be no protests of going, oh, that was a really, really poor decision by the club. Hmm. Everyone will be like, yeah, I can see why they did that, or that should have happened. So
I can't believe that there was many Southampton fans out there that thought that this year they'd push further still and get towards the Champions League.
I thought we saw there was no reason why we shouldn't do. We looked at sort of what happened with Leicester last year, and yes, it's a freak thing that happened. But the top four is not as sacred as it once was, and a lot of those bigger sides we know are going to have bad years. So we thought, okay, if we're not going to get Champions League, we can push for those Europa League places again, and really, you know, almost like what Moyes did with Everton, constantly be challenging in that kind of position, constantly being there. And we thought, okay, this is our chance to really secure that.
Premier League now, and the status quo has resumed.
I don't buy it's resumed. I think one season. I think it's been shifting. There's been a clear shift, and there was opportunities for the other sides to do it, to actually start to, you know, get the top four. I mean, you look at a simple example would be Tottenham. We say the status quo is resumed, but when the hell were Tottenham ever part of the status quo? Liverpool haven't been part of the status quo for years. And so there is clearly a shift happening, and we looked at our squad.
There's a shift, though, from a top four to a top six, although I would say those top six are ahead of the rest of the pack. I know Arsenal are on the same points at the moment as Everton. They've got two games in hand. Although those top six are vastly better than the rest of the league.
But here's the thing, we were part of that last year. And so I think we're thinking, why can't we do that kind of thing again? We were looking at it and saying,
last year, you had a couple of clubs that really underperformed.
I think there's no reason why those clubs shouldn't have underperformed again. You look at Arsenal this year, you look at City, they're underperforming. Now, it's not to the degree they were last year. There was no reason why we couldn't have done well this year. You look at actually our team at the start of the year, and I think it was damn good, on paper at the very least. So we had Forster, who, I'm kind of very much turning off as a goalkeeper, but he had a good season. Cedric Suarez had just gone and won the Euros. Jose Fonte just won the Euros. Virgil van Dijk's looking like one of the best centre-backs going around at the moment. Ryan Bertrand, solid player. Oriol Romeo, again, he's having a very, very good season. We had good players across the board. We had Charlie Austin, we thought, okay, he's actually starting to not go in again. There was no reason why we couldn't have had another one of those years we've been having, where we get just that little bit...
Summer. What was your net spend and net, gain?
I have no idea, but this is what I'm saying. For what we've been doing the previous years in making that constant progress, there was no reason why we thought we shouldn't do that again. If that constant progress was before sixth, then maybe it was fifth. or maybe it was we get lucky and we just about nick fourth. But it was at least let's stick to where we are, let's consolidate. And we've just taken a massive step backwards. We're nowhere near European football. We're not going to get it. We know that. In fact, for the last sort of few weeks, we've been worried that we're going to get pulled into a relegation fight. That's been genuinely the worry. I mean, I said on the podcast a while ago, I said I didn't think we were out of it. So for us to have gone from that to this, I think that's merit. Now, merit is sacking us after board.
Yeah, I don't think you can. The manager is someone that you can. The board should be looking at and thinking this is where we blame it. They should be looking upon themselves.
A well
has a certain amount of water in it. It's not unlimited, and you get rid of your best assets every year, and eventually that will catch up with you.
I do completely agree, and the board do need to look at themselves a bit more and think, if we are going to be serious about this constant progress thing, we need to actually put our money where our mouth is, not only spend the money, but also refuse the money when it's coming in for these players. They have done it before. Maybe they haven't actually stuck with it. They did it with Schneidlin for about a year. They said, right, you're not going for a year. We actually need you for another year. And so I think we do need to all round kind of stick with this whole we are going to be making constant progress thing. And the board have kind of done that, but also it was also a case of other managers before Puel, even under the exact same circumstances, have been able to do it. So it's a case of the board will be saying, well, it's not like there was just one person who was the exception. We did much better than we thought we should have done with Vadkins, and then we did much better than we thought we should have done with Pochettino, and then we did much better than we thought we should have done with Koeman, your boy who's broken that chain there. I can't see him surviving. If he had the backing of the fans, maybe. He doesn't. The fans don't like him, the fans don't want him. So I think it's a combination of that and just that clear backward step. I'll say he has to go at this point.
If you put together a Southampton team of the last 10 years, they'd win the league.
Well, we'd be in no as good a chance as any of them, I think. Yeah, it seems ridiculous. Of course, we were not going to keep hold of Bale. I mean, we were playing him as a left-back. Let's not forget, we were not going to turn him into a world-class player just now.
You look at some of the players that you've had over the last 10 years, and obviously Bale was there, Walcott was there, half the Liverpool team was there.
I think for Southampton fans, we really don't want to be in a position where 5 years down the line, we're looking at this like Aston Villa. Looking at a team we once had, or a team we once could have had, and going, bloody hell, that would have been pretty damn good. And we are really close to doing that. Look at where Aston Villa are now. It's so easy to go from, you're competing, you're challenging, you've got some good managers and you've got good players, to, oh, you just have one off year. Maybe you have just another off year. Maybe just another off year. Oh, now you're fighting relegation. Oh, God, you're going down. Oh, God, possibly you are going to end up in League One. We've done it. We've headed down before. It was not a pleasant time, and we know it's that in order to actually go anywhere in the Premier League these days, you've got to constantly be improving. You can't stagnate. Stagnate is going backwards. And I think if our whole idea of what is Southampton is based around this constant progress, and we're selling that to the foreign players, we're selling that to the foreign managers and coaches, and then we sort of, it's like looking at someone's CV and going, well, you took a massive step back here. Can you actually explain that? They'll be doing that to us. Can you explain what happened here? Let's have another look at your transfer record. Were we going to have the money to actually improve this club? And I think that's when questions start getting asked, and I think that's when we start missing out on the better targets we're going for.
Have Southampton still got that set up in the youth system? Have they managed to retain the guys, the scouts bringing in those talents?
That is all sticking together, and I think it's the one good thing for Claude Puel this season is that he made up for what Koeman wasn't doing when he was part of Southampton, which is he's still promoting the youth talent. James Ward-Prowse has become a first-team player now. That's been years coming, and he's looking very good. He got in the England squad, obviously, fairly recently. Nathan Redmond has had a very shocking start to the season, but he's getting a lot better. We've also got, McQueen. He's looking like a good talent. Targets look good when he's played. So we're playing our younger players again, like Jack Stevens. But at the end of the day, it's one of those things. We were supposed to be doing that anyway. You don't get points for doing what you were supposed to be doing. Just because Koeman didn't do it and he was the exception doesn't mean you get points for doing it now. We should have been doing that anyway. So I don't think that would go in his favour at all. And that would say that was just one of the things we hired you to do. Well done on doing it. You didn't do all the other things.
Well, in the long term of, even when you went down divisions, you were still emphasising very much on the youth players. And the likes of Bale were coming through when you were down in the Championship, weren't they?
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever lose that. But at the same time, you could end up becoming a crew. Agüero Alexander constantly producing good players, but never actually reaping the benefits of it, not properly. I think Southampton fans, we're looking at it now and we're thinking, we've been there before. We know the signs of when it's going to happen. And I think we're sort of wondering, Were things going as well as we thought they were? We've got that rumours of Chinese investment and all this kind of stuff, and I think there's, because of what's happened this season, because we've lost Font as well, the club captain, been there for years, and because we've really not really got any of those players who have been there for a long time. James Ward-Prowse is now our longest serving player, and he's about 21, 22 or something like that. I think we're looking at sort of wondering what we're doing a little bit finally. What's our direction? Where are we really going as a club? And I think, you don't want that uncertainty gets passed on to Manjo. That's the first person the buck stops at.
I think as well, like, you look at like the Fonte transfer, you know, over the years you've had your players stolen by us, by Liverpool, by Spurs, and they were annoying, but you could understand them.
They were going to bigger clubs.
Yeah. When your captain leaves you to go to West Ham,
a team that is worse than you consistently for the last few seasons, you question it very significantly.
Yeah, that's got to be thinking like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I know. That was a perfect example of a complete breakdown of communication between player, manager, board, in the sense that none of them were on the same page. None of them really understood what the fans were thinking at the time, which was, Jesus Christ, what are we doing? He's been our best player for a solid two or three seasons now. Don't just let him go because he wants a few more years in his contract and he's a bit old. Maybe he'll be John Terry and we'll just go on for bloody ever. I mean, it was a shambles. And again, that's part of this whole thing. Maybe it is unfair to put it all up Wales' door. And I do agree that the board get some or probably most of the blame. But at the end of the day, do I think Claude Puel's going to turn around at Saints, be a Saints legend? You know, is he going to be a solid manager, get us back up to where we should be doing, play that good football, bring through the youth players, all of that kind of stuff? No. I think we've finally done that thing where we're constantly getting a better player, a better manager, and we've accidentally found one who is a bit shit. I mean, for all the praise we get for our transfers, everyone forgets the shocking ones we've done over the years. It is inevitable we're eventually going to do it with a manager.
You've got that point in Southampton at the moment where you've been to the top of the hill, and unfortunately you're starting to go down it again at the other side.
Yeah, I mean, we just sort of slipped over and now we're tumbling down a little bit. It's not good times at the moment for Southampton because we don't know what we're doing. And I think as a club, that is probably one of the worst things you can end up having is just absolute uncertainty about your direction. For example, Stoke, even though they've not managed to do it in recent seasons, they still clearly have that ambition of one day it's going to click. Signing these players that we're doing, playing this way we're doing, one day it's going to click. West Brom with Tony Pulis, it's clear that they were just trying to stabilise, and now they're thinking, actually, maybe we can step on if we just manage to get a decent side together. So I think for a lot of those mid-table clubs that we had before, they're sort of finally knowing what they're doing, and now we've taken that step back where we don't know what we're doing. And it's damaging.
Like Stoke, though, and Stoke, they're not a selling club. They're not like Southampton. They get a player that comes along and they're gone by the end of the season if they're having a good few months. Stoke are a buying club.
Yeah, well, I also think the half the problem with Stoke is they sign fairly established players who are already regarded as being pretty good and then show them up to be not quite as good as everyone thought they are, whereas we sign unestablished players because no one's really sure what they're going to do and it turns out they're quite good. Stoke sign players like Shaqiri and everyone goes, oh, what a sign that is, and everyone looks at him and goes, oh, he's just a White Townsend.
Nice.
Yeah, he's a White Townsend. Not that good. So yeah, I think there's a slight difference there, but again, it's all part of that actually having some kind of direction, because that vision, when you're a team like Southampton, you can't say, look at our trophies we've won. You can't say, come to us and we're going to compete every year. We can't say that. We know we can't say that. But what we can say is, we're going that way. Join us on that journey. Be a part of that, or we can springboard your career. We can say that to them.
Yeah,
and after this season, we can't say
that. With the likes of Stoke for the sort of players that Stoke bring in.
At the same time, we're not a club that punts money. We're not a club that really chooses to invest in transfers. We avoid doing it. We think if we sell one player for 15 million, we should sign the next one for 10 million. We don't think we've sold this one for 50 million, the next one should be 20. We don't think about it that way at all. So I think because we are such a bunch of tight arses, really, if we're being honest, it's a bit of a problem.
You know, out of the two, you're trying to attract a player from Spain or Portugal, and I know you've had a couple of Portuguese players there. But which is going to be a more likely destination, Stoke or Southampton?
It's difficult after this season.
It should be Southampton.
It should be.
The South Coast or the Potteries.
Yeah, we've got geography going in our favour, but honestly, genuinely, that's all we've really got. With maybe the only exception being the younger players. I mean, there's a clear allure to the younger players to go to Southampton because we can turn around and say, look at what we do with young players here. And not in a, you know, crude kind of way. It's look, we genuinely do springboard your career. Pretty much every young player who's joined us has either gone to very well established themselves at Southampton or they've gone on to better things. So we've still got that. But, I mean, at this point, we can't keep doing it. As I've said it before, I said it at the start of the season. How much longer can we keep signing these younger, slightly better players but no one really has heard about? How many times can we pull that trick off? I think we've got to start signing some more established players. I think that's got to be the key to us making that final jump forward, but that's going to be even harder after this year.
Right, shall we leave the... we just hit the hour.
I think we filled that there.
All right, so we'll finish on discussing the young Premier League 11, which is voted for by our Twitter followers. So far the team is Jordan Pickford in goal, with a back four of Bellerin, Eric Bailly, Henry Maguire and Robertson. This week we asked for our first central midfielder, and the nominees were Dele Alli, Ross Barkley, Tom Davis and Harry Winks. So in last place was Harry Winks with 4%, and Tom Davis got 9, Ross Barkley got 15, and the runaway winner was Dele Alli was 72. Wasn't much of a surprise this week. So.
No, you can't really argue that, can you? I mean, we talk about overstating English players constantly over here, don't we? We sort of say, oh, we may be hyping them up a little bit too much. I think Dele Alli is probably the one example of we're really understating how good a young player he is. Look at his record compared to the other young players around there at the moment. And not just the ones who are doing it at the moment in Germany and Spain and France and that lot. Look at the historical ones. His record for a young player is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, we'll mention he's probably the one English player that could go on to become world class out of the current crop.
I wouldn't be shocked in 2-3 years if we're seeing him in a Real Madrid shirt. I wouldn't. I think he is that good. And again, a lot of people go, oh, we don't overhype the English players. Again, just look at his record. Look at his record for, as a midfielder, goals scored, assists made. It is stupid for a young player. And
Did you see the one move he did for Germany?
Oh, that was dirty. that was filthy.
He just absolutely tore apart two of the German players. And they weren't shoddy German players either. They were top quality German players that he just ripped to shreds.
And if you think he's probably nowhere near his peak yet, I don't see him as being a Barkley where he's quite possibly hit as good as he's ever going to get, which I do worry about with Barkley. I think he seems to constantly be getting better. He seems to always be improving that little bit more of his game, or maybe learning a little bit more. He's got that rashness, I think, there's still to worry about, and I don't think he always makes the best decisions. But that is something you get with experience. That isn't something you're going to naturally have as a young player unless, you know, you've already got it, unless you've got that personality. You learn that in time. I think once he gets that under control, and he still does that improvement that he's clearly making more or less every single game, I think he could genuinely be a world-class talent.
All right, so
I think he needs to make sure he doesn't get some of the tetchy side of his game too on top of him.
Yeah, like, you don't want to see him really.
Yeah, that's the worry, is that he goes to a World Cup, the expectation starts to build on him from the tabloids and stuff, and then he does a Rooney or a Beckham, and then suddenly he's absolutely vilified, and he pretty much destroys his career from there on.
So as Ross Barkley finished second, he qualifies for the next poll, with Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, James Ward-Prowse and Eric Beer. So who do you think's going to get through out of them?
Ward-Prowse.
I'd go for them.
I know I'm biased, but I think, and this is completely genuine, by the way, this isn't me as a Southampton fan saying this, I can't think of a single natural ball player we have better than Ward-Prowse at the moment. And I'm not talking about, you know, players like Barkley who can maybe thread a pass once in a while, or Dele Alli who threads a pass once in a while. I'm talking about somebody who gets the ball, their first thought is, I look up, who can I pass to? Not where can I run, not can I impress, not can I, you know, get in a really good ball that's going to impress people. It's not, can I get a goal, can I shoot? Not thinking that, it's who can I pass to straight away, and then being able to hit that pass bullseye when he wants to. Ward-Prowse is probably the only player in an England shirt we've got who can do that. And it's not just that. This season, he has come on leaps and bounds. He can defend now. He can get in there and get a tackle in. He's a box-to-box. He's actually got proper stamina now and can last an entire game. He's come on leaps and bounds. And if he was playing in a Tottenham shirt, we'd be shouting about him in the same way I think we're shouting about the likes of Dele Alli. Probably not going to be as good as Dele Alli. I don't think he's going to be a world-class talent, but I think he can be one of our best midfielders, and he's such a rare type of player, that completely natural, unselfish ball player.
So the poll will go up tomorrow at lunchtime. So we're recording this on the Thursday, so Friday lunchtime, and it goes till Monday. So check out our website, it's v2football.com, where you can find our other shows, which have had loads of guests on this week. Leighton Orient assistant manager Omar Risa joined Anthony on the 72 show this week to discuss the current problems at the club and how it's affecting the players and the like. And Ash and Al were joined by former Premier League referee Jeff Winter and former Borough and Palace midfielder Dean Gordon to discuss what they're going on at Middlesbrough. And so follow us on Twitter, it's at V2Football, and like us on Facebook. Good night.
Bye. Bye.